Gorgia would really have liked to stand, if only to assert a modicum of control over the situation. On the other hand, he doubted he'd be all that imposing in his nightshirt. So he settled for arranging his pillows behind his shoulders, then cocked his head.
"Very well, Sajan Abraim. What exactly did you want to discuss?"
"Basically, I just thought it might be a good idea to drop by and introduce myself."
Teeth gleamed in a fleeting smile.
"I feel reasonably confident that, in the fullness of time, your correspondence with Earl Grey Harbour is going to lead to a satisfactory outcome for all concerned. In the meantime, though, it seemed likely to me that while I was here, just introducing myself, you understand, you'd also like to know Admiral Rockpoint's about to be reinforced. I believe it's what's known as bringing an additional argument to bear."
"I beg your pardon,"
Gorgia said a bit more sharply. He knew exactly what Rockpoint's current strength was, given the fact that the cheeky Carizian had set up permanent housekeeping in Holm Reach. Of course, most of his galleons were usually out cruising around, enforcing the blockade around the rest of the Taroisian coast, and carrying out the occasional raid on some minor Desnarian port on the other side of the Taro Channel. By now, however, all of them had cycled through the anchorage off Hourglass Island at least once. There'd been plenty of time for his observers to identify each of them by name, which was about all he'd been able to do about the Carizian infestation of his territorial waters.
"I said Admiral Rockpoint is about to be reinforced," Jevons repeated obligingly. "At the moment, I believe, he's scheduled to be brought up to 40 galleons.
Gorgia resisted a sudden urge to swallow.
"And by a peculiar coincidence, there happened to be about 20,000 Imperial Marines available to go aboard transports in Old Karis, if they should find it necessary to make a cruise."
This time, Gorgia went ahead and swallowed. 20,000 Carizian Marines, with the new rifled muskets and artillery, and siege guns to deal with any fortifications that happened to get in their way? They'd go through his own small army like shit through a wyvern.
"Are you saying Caleb is going to invade my kingdom?"
he asked very carefully.
"I'm saying Caleb and Charlian would very much prefer not to invade your kingdom," Jevons said pleasantly. "Which brings me back to the little matter of your correspondence with Earl Grey Harbour. I think everyone would be happier if this could be settled without any unnecessary unpleasantness."
Gorgia stared at his mostly invisible visitor for a moment. Then he surprised himself with a harsh crack of laughter.
"I must say, Sajan Abraim, that you have a most peculiar negotiating style."
"Oh, I'm not negotiating, Your Majesty. I'm simply pointing out that you might consider whether or not it behooves you to negotiate a bit more briskly with the Earl."
"I see."
Gorgia contemplated the other man for several more seconds.
"May I ask whether or not Caleb and Charlian are as prepared to be as reasonable as the Earl has suggested?"
"I think you might look at Narmon in that regard,"
Jevons said in a rather more serious tone.
"I'm not in a position to make any promises on Their Majesty's behalf, but it does seem to me that leaving aside that little matter of a violated treaty, Taro's actually done less damage to Old Karis than Emerald had before they reached their understanding with him. And frankly, considering Taro's geographic position, you'd have quite a bit to offer the Empire. So..."
He let his voice trail off and shrugged, and Gorgia felt his lips quivering on the edge of an involuntary smile.
"You do have a peculiar negotiating style," he said, "but I take your point. May I assume that if I were to give you a message for the Earl, or for that matter for Their Majesties, you could see to it that it was delivered?"
"Not immediately,"
Jevons said, and Gorgia's eyebrows rose in surprise.
"I have a couple of other small missions I have to take care of before I head back to Old Karis, Your Majesty," the Sajan explained. "My transportation arrangements and schedule are based on my dealing with them.
I think you'd probably be able to get a message back to Telesburg through Sir Rick's established channels rather more quickly than I could, actually.
I see.
Gorja's brain whirred as he tried to imagine what other small missions Jevons might have on his calendar. Not that he had any intention of asking.
If I might make one teeny-tiny suggestion, Jevons continued, holding up an index finger and thumb about a half-inch apart. I'd go ahead and address your next note directly to Caleb and Charlian, if they're not already in Telesburg. I'm sure they will be by the time it arrives.
I see, Gorja repeated. He shook his head. I believe I'll probably take your advice, Sajan.
Good. And in that case, Your Majesty, I suppose it's time I was going.
The Sajan moved across the room to an open fifth-floor window.
It's been an enjoyable chat, he continued, pushing the drapes to either side, sitting on the windowsill, and then swinging his legs out the opening. But I do have those other little responsibilities. Good night, Your Majesty.
He turned lithely, dropped off the window ledge, caught it briefly with his hands for a moment, then released it with one hand to wave cheerfully before he let go entirely and disappeared. For an instant, Gorja stared disbelievingly at the suddenly empty window. Then he flung himself out of bed, dashed over, and looked down. Despite his disbelief, he wasn't really surprised when he didn't see a smashed Sajan lying on the pavement of the courtyard below. Not that not seeing it told him a single damned thing about how his visitor had managed to get in and out of his bedchamber.
Well, he thought, one thing certain, at least now I know all of the tall tales about Sajans are true.